This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Matthew Wells. In this week's programme, children in Malawi, Ghana and Kenya are set to receive the world's first ever vaccine for malaria. And harnessing the power of laughter for the sake of peace. We've a special report from South Sudan's capital, Juba. But first, ending the hostilities in South Sudan should be the global community's number one priority, David Shearer, the UN Special Envoy to the country, said, just ahead of briefing the Security Council. South Sudan's neighbours should also be in lockstep when it comes to pressuring the various parties to the conflict to resume negotiations, he added. Africa's newest nation has been in the grip of a three-year brutal civil war, while also grappling with a man-made famine, the result of years of ongoing conflict and economic collapse. Mr. Shearer sat down with Jocelyn Sambira.
Well, regrettably, a situation in South Sudan, particularly over the last few weeks, has deteriorated. There's fighting in a lot of parts of the country. Some of that fighting is in retaliation or is in response to various rebel attacks on government positions. But a lot of the times the response has been too heavy-handed and has meant that many people have died, villages and houses have been burned. But in some cases the conflict has been more planned or it's been more strategic in the sense of it appears that the government is looking at taking back control of areas that are under the control of opposition forces.
The UN has repeatedly called for restraint, has asked the opposing parties to protect civilians. So in the course of your work, how difficult is it for you? Is it sort of like a balancing act where you have to interact with the government, which is also party to the conflict?
We work closely with the government. We meet and liaise with opposition figures as well. We are completely open about that. And we push the message that there is no military solution to South Sudan's problems. There is only a political solution, and the more that military activity go on, the likelihood of trying to get a political process together that works and to build a country that really feels like one country, that becomes a more distant dream.
There's a proposal of sending a regional protection force to the country on the table. What has happened to that?
We have been pushing the government to accelerate the efforts to deploy it. It will enable the peacekeeping forces to have a better ability to give confidence to the various parties to the conflict to create the atmosphere by which we think our peace talks will be able to proceed more easily.
The UN has declared famine in parts of South Sudan. Can you tell us what positive developments, if any, you can share?
There's not too much in the way of positive developments when it comes to famine, and I have to reiterate that the famine is entirely man-made. This is not a function of climate, as with other areas in the region. It is purely a function of the war conflict over a period of years eroding people's livelihoods. We need a ceasefire. We need to stop hostilities. We have to get those talks resuming and move towards a political settlement.
David Shearer of UNMISS talking to Jocelyn Sambira there. Children in Ghana, Kenya and Malawi are set to receive the world's first malaria vaccine, UN health experts have announced. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, around 430,000 people died of the illness in 2015, the majority of them African youngsters. The new jab will be given to children from mid-2018, as WHO Senior Technical Officer Mary Hamill explains to Daniel Johnson ahead of World Malaria Day.
At WHO, we are very pleased to be able to announce in advance of World Malaria Day and during African Vaccination Week that the first vaccine against malaria, which has been designed to prevent illness and death in African children, will be piloted in three African countries. And those countries are Malawi, Ghana, and Kenya. We expect the first vaccines to start sometime in mid-2018, and we'll use these pilots to understand better how to reach children with these four doses of this vaccine, and in the real-life setting, how the vaccine can really impact severe malaria and mortality.
It's already been trialed, but you're going to be testing how effective this vaccine is, the RTS,S vaccine is, in the real world, so to speak, because, as you say, it needs four different injections. And isn't that one of the main question marks over it? I mean, how confident are you that this new vaccine will be effective in the real world?
Well, this is a big question. Can we reach the children with four doses that are outside? At least some of the doses will be outside of the normal routine immunization time period. The last dose is given at 2 years of age, and we don't have many vaccines that are given in the second year of life, although there are some. So we're going to use this time to find out how to reach the children with these vaccines. Will there need to be additional efforts over what is usually done during a immunization delivery system or immunization campaigns in order to reach these children?
Can you maybe give me a bit more detail about what this vaccine is designed to do? I mean, when we say it's designed to combat malaria, it's specifically going after the very, very virulent form of the parasite, the Plasmodium, excuse my pronunciation, falciparum?
Yeah, the Plasmodium falciparum, that's right. And that is the deadliest of the malaria parasites. Malaria, even now, even with the progress made over the last 15 years, malaria continues to result in over 200,000 cases of malaria per year and around 400,000 deaths. And most of these cases and most of these deaths are in African children. So this vaccine has been shown to reduce malaria episodes by about 40%.
Mary Hamill of WHO talking to Daniel Johnson. South Sudan's not had much to laugh about over the last 3.5 years of brutal conflict, but the UN mission UNMISS has been making an effort to put some smiles back onto the faces of people in the war-torn country. The Comedy for Peace event in the capital Juba brought together hundreds of people to be entertained by the young nation's best comedians. As Daniel Dickinson found out, the laughter also came with a very serious message.
People don't get to laugh often in South Sudan these days, but on Sunday at the Nyakaron Cultural Centre, it was different. This is Zico.
Of course, the jokes I'm telling is about our communities in South Sudan here.
How can you find any jokes in that material?
We just see our societies, then we automatically, the jokes comes and we just crack it.
Can you give me an example of one of your jokes about the communities here?
There's another area called Lologo. You know those guys, they have toilets, but the toilet has no door. Then if you are inside the toilet, if you heard any voice just crossing, you need to let that person that there is someone inside there. You either make, or you sing, or you just do your leg like this. Then the person will know that there's someone inside the toilet.
The cultural centre was packed with young people at the Comedy for Peace event. The idea in this country, deeply divided along ethnic and political lines, is for people to come together and laugh, and in so doing forget their differences, and hopefully eventually live in peaceful coexistence. But does this approach work? A question I put to some of the audience.
It's a very good idea. By doing such a project, can really show some kind of peace in this country.
Yeah, it makes difference a lot because we feel happy, feel that we have a peace in South Sudan. If we continue with the comedy and the music in South Sudan, we feel that we will go higher and higher, we will feel in the next level in South Sudan.
It brings people together, then people forget what past and they laugh. I think comedy can do a lot if the project can be extended to countrywide.
The event was put on by the UN mission in South Sudan, UNMISS. Part of its mandate is to support the peace process here. Ruben Enaju is one of the organizers.
I hope that when they leave here today, they leave with the message which we are trying to spread, and that is the message of inclusivity.
The conflict in South Sudan is continuing. It's been 3.5 years since Africa's newest nation was at peace, driving its citizens against each other. It's hoped the laughter at the cultural centre here in Juba will go some way to healing those rifts. This is Daniel Dickinson at the Nyakaron Cultural Centre in Juba.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN in Africa. You can follow more of our programmes at radio.un.org, and we're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Matthew Wells.